Today our lesson will be entitled Wisdom, Knowledge, and Understanding. We here at the Bible Forum believe that the word of truth should be rightly divided. We just rightly divide more than some other people do. We believe that God deals with different groups of people at different times in different ways. We believe that certain truths in the Bible are to be separate and dispensational. We study the entire Bible to know for sure where we fit into God's plan. Unlike others, we are no longer bound to a religion and creed. We would like to help others see what we see in the scriptures, because it is joy and blessings beyond our comprehension. Our ministry is to help others believe and see the dispensation, the mystery of the body of Christ, as revealed to the Apostle Paul after the end of the Acts period. We may not know all the truth, but we're still learning. Right now, it's not as bad as it used to be. You know, today we're called ultra-dispensationalists. We're accused of wrongly dividing the Word of God. We're accused of satanically perverting the truth. But how many remember the 30-year war in Europe? Eldon might, he's old enough, but 1618 to 1648, there was a war between, it actually started way before that, but it came to a head in 1618 between the Roman Catholics, the Lutherans, and the Calvinists. This was a war over their differences in religious beliefs. Amazingly, about 8 million people died from fighting, disease, famine, starvation. It's a sad thing. The sad thing was that not one of those groups really had all the truth. Not one of them was right. Turn to Proverbs 1. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We're going to look at evidence in the scriptures that points to the uniqueness of what we believe concerning the body of Christ. There's a lot of evidence, but this is just one aspect. Verse 7 in Proverbs 1 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." Switch over to the page to verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In a city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you." Then let's go over to Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and incline thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So back in verse 20 and in chapter 1, wisdom is still out there in the streets crying for attention. And yet many people don't care. They're not looking for wisdom today. But in this Proverbs 2, notice here we have the three words together: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasures. Have you ever seen the movie National Treasures? The first one in 2004. Nicolas Cage, John Voight. Nicolas Cage played Ben Gates, and Ben Gates' grandfather on his deathbed told of a secret treasure that was been hidden. And their family for three generations were searching for this treasure, and people thought they were crazy. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that movie was this Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, especially verse 4. If thou seekest her as for silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Wouldn't it be nice if people, especially believers, would search the scriptures for truth in God's word? I sat down after I saw this movie and wrote out a whole lesson on this topic. It impressed me so much. Like in the movie, the first thing they found was the key to the treasure. But then they had to find the treasure. And there were a lot more clues that led them to where the treasure was hidden. But they had an enemy. One of the team decided he was going to get the treasure for himself. Do we have an enemy today? Same thing. We fight the enemy all the time about this treasure. As we will discover, the hidden treasure is found where wisdom and knowledge and understanding are found. Remember the California Gold Rush? The 49ers, 1848 to 1855, 300,000 people risked their lives for worldly wealth. Will there ever be a wisdom rush for biblical gold? They're searching for sunken treasures in the ocean as we speak. It's a huge commercial operation. Billions of dollars they invest to find these sunken treasures in the oceans. There are still people mining for gold all over the country. But these are few compared to the general population. Very few people. But what about God's treasures? Are there treasures hidden in the Bible? What are these treasures? Does God keep secrets? When Proverbs 2 was written, were there any hidden treasures at that time? I believe there were. For whom are these treasures hidden? Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. From whom are these treasures hidden? Are they not hidden from the evil one or those who are not seeking for treasure? In the Bible, whenever the evil one causes God's people to fall, God reveals a mystery, a secret. Then the evil one works to destroy or detract from what God reveals. These three words in Proverbs 2, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, are only found together in just a few places in the Scriptures. So let's take a look. Before Proverbs was written, they first appear together in Exodus. So let's turn to Exodus 31, verse 1. And this is concerning the building of the temple. And God and the Lord spake unto Moses. So here's the Lord speaking to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering with all its furniture, and the laver in his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy places, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. So this was everything involving the tabernacle. But notice it says in there, I have called, I have filled, I have given, I have put. So, did these people do this on their own skill? No. This was, it says, the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. The Spirit of God. So this is a special spirit that he gave these people to do this phenomenal work to build this temple. John the Baptist said in John 3:27, don't have to turn there, but he just says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from God. Well, let's flip over to Exodus 35:29. It says, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord hath commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And now Moses said to the children of Israel. Before it was the Lord was speaking to Moses, now Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding and knowledge, and all the manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to them, and in carving of the wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, and the blue, and the purple, and the scarlet, and the fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. So this is just a repetition of what we read before. Notice again, he says, the Lord hath called, the Lord hath filled, the Lord hath put. And it's the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So, this is something very special that the Lord has given. I don't know who this guy was, Bezaleel, but the Lord gave him this special spirit, this special gift, and to teach others. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. It simply says, we've read this before, you know this verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, rightly divide thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So this is sort of the opposite. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the Spirit of God and his understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And this is what befalls many believers, is that they become wise in their own eyes. They lean on their own understanding instead of learning more truth. Let's turn to Proverbs 4, 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Right paths. That's that word orthodox again coming up. Another place these three words are together is Proverbs 5, 1 through 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bound thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Proverbs 9, 10. Verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Isaiah 11. Let's turn to Isaiah 11. page 946. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. He's talking about David there. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge. And of the fear of the Lord, he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So who is he talking about here? He's talking about Christ. He's giving Christ the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Turn to Daniel 1, 3 and 4. I remember somebody speaking about this last week. Thank you, Peter. In verse 3, and the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the kings and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored. Does that sound familiar? And skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science. And such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So I thought this was interesting that somebody else in the scriptures is without blame and is also accepted in the beloved and stands in the king's palace. We'll get to that in a little bit. Then down in let's skip to 17. Talking about Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, he said, for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So Daniel was given, and God gave them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But Daniel had that in all visions and dreams. Daniel 2:13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain, because nobody could interpret the dream. And then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which has gone forth to slay these wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret or mystery, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret or mystery revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and right are his. And he changes the time and the seasons. He moveth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things," or mysteries. "He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, that I might know, that hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." And verse 20, back in chapter 1, was interesting. "And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm." So that's interesting. Because Daniel had wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, he was found 10 times better than all the other theologians. So back to, don't have to turn here, but back to Proverbs 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." The treasure of Proverbs 2 is found where wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are found. Now, in the New Testament, they're only found together in Ephesians and Colossians. Turn to Ephesians 1, verse 17. Paul was writing to the saints and faithful in these churches in Asia. These letters were circulated amongst the assemblies there. And he prayed this prayer in verse 17, Ephesians 1, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding having been enlightened." There we have the words wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that God may give it unto you. It's given by God, right? "That we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the heavenlies, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the called out ones, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." In Ephesians 4:23, Paul says also to these people, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He didn't say be renewed in your mind. He said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this is a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. This is a spiritual thing. This is a big deal. So this whole thing puts us on par with Bezaleel, whoever he was. It puts us on par with Daniel. It puts us on par with Christ. Puts us on par with Paul, because Paul was also given this, otherwise he couldn't write about it. Turn to Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Back in Proverbs 2, that hidden treasure was the knowledge of God. Here it says, increasing in the knowledge of God. And that has something to do with understanding the mystery of the body of Christ. Colossians 2, 1 through 3. It's another prayer of Paul. So, to the saints and faithful. He says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, not in whom, but in which all are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In which, that is the mystery, the acknowledgement of the mystery. In which are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where wisdom and knowledge and understanding are found, so also is found the hidden treasure. What is the hidden treasure? It is the mystery of the body of Christ. And that is the pinnacle of the knowledge of God. Paul calls it the manifold wisdom of God. Turn to Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. Talks about this hidden treasure. Unto me, who am blessed and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles or the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the body of Christ the manifold wisdom of God. So here's a treasure that was hid from the beginning in the world, hid in God. And some of us had found that treasure. And now we're to give that treasure to those principalities and powers in heavenly places. We are to give them that manifold wisdom of God. That's our purpose. Turn to Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Again, you all know these verses. Verse 25, Paul says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, or among you, the hope of glory." So where we find wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we also find the hidden treasure, the mystery. And like the spirit given to Daniel, we have that same spirit to understand this knowledge of God. So only those who have been given by God the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding can find the hidden treasure and see the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ. You got to realize that when you're witnessing to people, that unless God gives them that spirit of wisdom, they're not going to see it. Unless one understands what happened at the end of the book of Acts, they will not rightly understand the New Testament or what happened to Israel or the two ministries of Paul or the mystery of the body of Christ or the unfolding purposes of God for the ages. Understanding what happened at the end of the book of Acts has to come first. Otherwise, they're not going to see any differences in Paul's writings. Therefore, before witnessing to a believer about the body of Christ, we should pray Paul's prayer. And we should pray it for ourselves probably every day, that God would give the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that they might see that there is further truth for the believer in Christ to see. Unless God gives them that spirit, they will not see it. So we, the members of the body of Christ, are ranked with those special people who are given the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding from God the Father to find the knowledge of God, to understand the secrets, and to do good works. I believe the greatest blessing a person can receive from God is to be called out of the religion of Christianity and into the body of Christ. If all believers were automatically included in the body of Christ, as many say, then why would Paul have written those prayers to the saints and faithful that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and be renewed in their mind? You ever think about that? Why would Paul have to pray those prayers if they were already in the body of Christ? Why would the Lord have converted the Pharisee Saul to be a chosen vessel as an apostle when he already had 12 apostles? Because God had a special plan and a purpose that the other 12 could not fulfill. When Israel set aside at the end of Acts, so was the ministry of the 12 apostles. Only Paul was chosen to receive a secret revelation that is entirely separate from Israel. So my question today is, where is the biblical gold rush in Christianity Where are the biblical treasure hunters? Who will find the hidden treasure in the Bible? Thank you, Lord, for your truth today. Grace and peace to you all. Any questions? Any answers?
Well, the obvious question is, where is it? And the answer is, it's in the Word.
It's not in the world. They sure put a lot into hunting for those treasures, don't they? Thank you.